John chapter 9, the blind man, blind from birth and miraculously healed. The means of this healing are just absolutely staggering. The Lord told this man to go wash. The Lord had taken clay and his own spittle, rubbed it on his eyes. And then he told him to go to the certain pool called Siloam and there to wash. And the miracle happened. And this became an amazing phenomenon in the community. And indeed it was so staggering to the multitudes that there was a whole series of interrogations that took place. There were the neighbors. How did this happen? Is he really that son of that was born blind? Well, it looks like him. And others said, yes, that's him. And then they came to the parents, and they were interrogated as well, both by neighbors and by the Pharisees. And when they found out that a man called Jesus was responsible, well, they really went into denial. This just can't be. Couldn't be. And so after interrogating his parents and him again, they finally cast him out of the temple. And I just wonder who's the most blind. Who really was blind? All the evidence was before them, and all they could do was get rid of the guy. They didn't want him in their midst. He was an embarrassment. He was one huge question mark that they didn't want to answer. And so they cast him out. Now, this miracle is really an exposition of the Lord's amazing statement where he said, I am the light of the world. The Lord had said that in chapter 8 and now in chapter 9. And he said in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And there's no better way to prove it. No better way to show that he is the one that gives light to those that sit in darkness. And this is another one of those incidents where the statement of our Lord is complemented with a miracle. Just like where the Lord says, I am the bread of life, and he fed 5,000 people. Or he says, I am the water of life. And he gave, of course, that interview to the woman at the well that we recently preached on. And here, the Lord is showing his mighty power in demonstrating that he is the light of the world. Now, for this man who was blind from his birth, this was the opening up of a new world. Can you imagine? We're not given his exact age, but he was an adult. So he had spent many years in absolute darkness. He had asked, what are trees like? And they would just take him and let him hug a tree. That's what a tree is like. The only way he could perceive things was touch. Could you imagine describing to someone who's blind the beauty of a sunrise on the horizon? You can't hug that. Or a sunset over the rippling water, the beauty of it. He could feel perhaps the heat of the sun on his face and that heat dissipating as the sun sets. But could he ever grasp such a scene? But now with new eyes, oh, what a world opened up. The blue sky, the green grass, the colorful world that God had created, it was to him a beautiful and a wonderful world. And instead of stumbling along over rocky roads, incapacitated, unable to go anywhere that was not familiar to him, he could visit the temple and see for himself the amazing structure. He could see the priests now at their priestly work. And I'm sure many times he had been told about the ministry of the priests, but now he could see and picture it all with his own eyes. But I think the best sight of all that this man had was not the religious activity of the temple or the structure of the temple, but the one who was the true temple, the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine when he returned from the pool? Now, the first sight he saw was not the Lord because he was in a separate location, but when he returned and saw the Lord, just to see the Savior. That's why this miracle is such a picture for us of the new birth experience when our spiritual eyes are opened. When we desire and can by faith see the Lord. That's what conversion is. That's what Christianity is. It's a people who have seen the Lord. And we have to have a testimony like this man. Once I was blind, but now I see. And we can only think of John Newton's great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see. That's the testimony of the Christian. Now, there are many similarities between the restoration of physical eyesight and the bestowal of spiritual eyes in the new birth experience. And just as to this man, there opened up a new world. When you become a Christian, when you are born of the Spirit and you are given the spiritual eyes which Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, he became a sinner and he lost spiritual eyes. And there is opened now to the new convert a new world, an eternal world, a world that before we could not see, but now we behold by faith, the eyes of faith. That's the experience of every convert. And the lament of every convert is, how come I didn't see this before? I read it. I was told about it. I was preached to. I couldn't see it. Someone opened my eyes. That's what salvation is. The opening of the eyes of our understanding. Today, we want to look at the confessions of a convert. What is his great statement? I once was blind, but now I see. And of course, everybody wanted to know, how did this happen? Who did it? And his final statement always was, well, I can't tell you. But this I know. Once I was blind, now I see. So we have here the confession of past blindness. Whereas I was blind. And there was a confession that he was blind from birth. This man never saw the light of day before he was healed. And what a bitter disappointment he must have been to his own parents as a little baby. We're not told at what age they discovered the handicap of blindness. What a day it must have been when the mother holding that child came to the realization, this child's not opening his eyes. He doesn't seem to be influenced by bright light. There's no response for eyesight here. What a horrible, horrible thing for parents to go through. And I'm sure that they asked the question long before the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents? I'm sure that they were beating themselves up wondering, what did we do to deserve a child that's blind from birth? It must have been something that we did. Now, it was amongst Jews a common notion that God afflicted people or afflicted children to judge parents. You know, this sin of the father will be passed on to the child. And that was so ingrained from the Old Testament that there was this guilt trip. When something was wrong with a child, they immediately came to the conclusion, we sinned. We did something wrong to deserve this. And what a burden to carry. What a weight to endure going through life. And because you not only feel it yourself within the confines of your own family as husband and wife, but to open the door and the neighbors, what are they thinking? And they will come with the same concept. Oh, there go that young couple, and they have a blind baby, and therefore this is God's judgment upon them. Well, you'll notice how the Lord Jesus answered this in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Oh, how the Lord just answered that in one sweeping, brief statement. They've not sinned. And it relates, of course, to us as spiritually born blind. How long have we been spiritually blind? From birth. And it's not just because our parents were bad people, but it's because of sin that's in the world. The fall. The curse. And it relates to the very fact that every one of us is born spiritually blind. You did not lose your spiritual eyes at 5 years old, or 10 years old, or as most people think, kids are okay till they become teenagers, just wait till they're 15. And then you will see the badness come out of their lives. Let me tell you, the problem of sin in our hearts did not start in teenage years. It started, as David had to confess in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." There's original sin. And it goes right back generation by generation, right to Adam, to the fall, to the curse, to the world in which we live, where there are these genetic defects. And how children are born healthy and some are not, that is all in the hands of God. But you'll notice this sad fact, and a very sad fact, born blind from birth. And worse still is to be so blind that you don't know you're blind. At least this fellow knew he was blind. He would admit it. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, those that are born spiritually blind, they don't realize their blindness. You see, if you were to lose your eyesight at, say, 20 years of age, you would know what you're missing. But if you're born blind, you don't know all that you're missing. Other people enjoy these benefits of eyesight, but you never did. And so when we are born spiritually blind, rebellious to God with a nature that is defiant of God, a depraved, sinful, twisted, carnal nature, and someone says, "Are you a good person?" You're blind to your sin. You don't realize what you've lost from your very birth. And of course, there are people who teach that the philosophies of this world, like evolution, that we're all getting better. And we are improving. And just generation after generation, there is an added information in our genetic makeup, and we are becoming better people, and we are becoming more moral and so on. What foolishness. Medically, every one of us is becoming sicker generation by generation. There are genetic problems in the gene pool of the world today that were not known prior times. And while there are discoveries and research for cures, yet the genetic issues still there. It's the opposite to evolution. It is the fact that we are devolving, that we're becoming less healthy, less perfect. And of course, spiritually. Do you know anyone that will recognize that they're a sinner? Recognize that they've broken God's law and that every part of their nature is a fallen, sinful nature? Do you know people that will just suddenly recognize that? I think of Romans chapter 3, the clear statements of the apostle there. And when you read chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, which say, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." All under sin. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Now, let me tell you, people can read that. Boys and girls can learn that in Sunday school. You can commit it to memory. But do you think that people understand and grasp the spiritual blindness that this refers to? No. That's the tragedy. Fallen, sinful man is so blind that he's not aware of his blindness. And then when you read on down these verses, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God.
They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And do you think that people will take that to heart and say that, you know, that applies to me? That's the tragedy, the blindness. I was blind. But the Christian who is taught of the Spirit, born again, what is the first thing that he sees? His sin. His sin. The horror of it. And as we grow in the Christian life, we become more and more distressed with the very nature of sin, not only around us, but in us. And how blind we were to it. But now I see. Now I see. And if you're born again, if you're a convert of the Lord Jesus, this is your testimony. I now see my sin. And I will accept the title sinner. I recognize that I am fallen. Once I was blind, but now I see. So he's blind from birth, but he was also blind without hope. In verse 32, we read in this account of John 9 that since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Born blind and without hope. There was never, until this occasion, there was never a report of anyone being healed from blindness from birth. Not one account. In fact, it was not until 1732, in a case like this, where a person was diagnosed blind from birth, that in a London hospital, a doctor called Chelsedon of St. Thomas Hospital performed a procedure that alleviated the blindness of such a case as this. And so when this was written in this time, in the day of the Lord Jesus, there never was a case, never was a case of one born blind that was made to see. And so this was an outstanding miracle. But of course, in his blindness, he thought there's no hope. No one ever held out any hope. Now, do you see the parallel in this? Only the Lord Jesus. Only the Lord Jesus can cure spiritual blindness. Sin blindness. Only the Lord Jesus is the answer to the sin nature. He's the one that has come into the world to give us hope where there was no hope. And, of course, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And that's why we preach, Jesus is the only way. He is your only hope. And if you reject him, you continue in blindness without any hope whatsoever. Once I was blind, now I see. Another thing, he was blind to the Savior's passing. In chapter 9, verse 1, we are told that Jesus passed by and saw a man which was born blind from his birth. He was blind to the Savior's passing. Now, it records that the Lord saw the blind man. It does not say the blind man saw him. Of course not. And of course, this is a true picture of our salvation. We were so blind, we could never see the Lord. But the Lord saw us. And here was the Lord passing by, and the man was blind to it. He didn't even recognize or realize how near the Savior had passed by. He was blind to the Lord Jesus. And the pattern fits for us. In our blind, spiritual, blinded state, we were blind to the Lord Jesus passing by us. What a shock it was for me one day when my brother and I were cleaning out an attic in the home where we were born. It's one of these farmhouses that was probably built in the 1700s. And there was stuff in that attic that, well, you wouldn't share with anybody. And we found in that attic religious books. And I can't remember if there was an actual Bible in that attic. But there was another time we were cleaning out a barn and we found a whole box of religious books and Bibles and some sermon-type books, and they were all Christian, they were all gospel. And as we were doing those things, we were blind to the reality that in our family history, Jesus was passing by. There were people, and I don't know if there were our family, my grandfather bought the farm way back in the 1930s somewhere, and I'm not sure if it was him or someone else at that time or prior to that that lived in the house that were interested in these things. But it's evident that Jesus was passing by. And I was blind. No knowledge, no grasp of these things whatsoever. How blind to Jesus passing by. And even when I was a teenager, in 1968, when Dr. Paisley preached in his 1,000-seat tent gospel campaign, when there were hundreds of converts in a small town, there were people on the street reported to be weeping with conviction. And you know, I lived through all of that oblivious, not even aware of what God was doing in the hearts of men, that Jesus was passing by. I was blind. Now, I may have told you that I used to hear Dr. Paisley's voice across the fields and the river that echoed on the gable end of our home. But I didn't know a thing of the power of the gospel. And once I was blind, but now I see. And now I take this book and I see the Savior on every page. Is this not your testimony also? This man was blind to the Savior's works. Throughout the Lord's 3 years, he had done many miracles. I wonder why. If I had been blind, and if you'd been blind at that time, would you have not said, look, I've heard about this man called Jesus. He can do miracles. He has even been known to heal blind people like Bartimaeus and several others that he healed from blindness. What about me? Take me to Jesus. We don't read a thing of that. He was blind to the works of the Lord Jesus. And there were lepers galore that were healed from their malady and mighty works that the Lord Jesus did. But this man was blind to it all. And of course, we too have been blind to the works of the Lord. And maybe there's someone here today and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, and you are blind to the great works that the Lord Jesus has done. Because there's people in this church today, and I include myself, who have the potential of being murderers, thieves, adulterers, and liars fit for hell. And here are mighty miracles of grace. And you're blind to what the Lord means to men and women in this congregation as their Savior. You don't recognize, you don't realize the life-changing power of the gospel unto men. Blind to his works, also blind to his word. I want to point out something here. This man never read a Bible. He never read a Bible in his life. Now, it's possible that someone read the Bible to him, but he was never able to take his Bible, put his finger on it and said, this is God's word to me. This is God's promise to me. And of course, there was no Braille Bible. Braille didn't come out until 1821. A French man called Louis Braille who came up with the idea of a Braille Bible. This man could not read. He could never appreciate the Bible for himself. He could never say, it is written, and here it is. He was always dependent on someone else to recite the word. And so with us. Once I was blind. To my shame, when I started attending gospel meetings, I didn't know which end of the Bible was up. The preacher would announce the text, and I'd be the last person to find it. But now I can take this Bible, and I see the Lord in every page. Once I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a gospel. What a miracle of salvation that takes a darkened, blind, stupefied sinner because of his sin, and brings him to the light of God's own word and his own works.
We were also blind to the Savior's warnings.
I branch out here and give my own testimony. Living for 18 years in this life, blind to the warnings of the Savior. I went to a church where I heard the nice stories. And the minister in the Presbyterian church where I grew up, he used to tell stories about little Johnny. And they always had happy endings. Always had happy ending stories. There was no word of warning. And I was blind. What a world view I had. What a view of God I had. Where God is always just pure love. There was no warning to my soul. And of course I wasn't seeking any such warnings. Hell was a foreign concept. Well, I remember hearing some street preaching, and you'd get the word hell once in a while. But I just write it off. I was blind to the reality of a place of eternal fire where souls are tormented endlessly. The doctrine of endless punishment. I was oblivious. I was blind to that. But now I see. When my eyes were opened to the gospel, the reality of eternity became real. Oh, so real. Heaven and hell were as clear, as black and white, as sunshine by day and the moon by night. Became as vivid. It's real. The warnings of our Lord Jesus, what did he preach? What was his first sermon? Repent. Repent. Flee from the wrath to come. He talked about sheep and goats, the separation. The righteous that he would take to the right hand as his sheep. The wicked that he would put to the left as the goats. And the judgment day when the Lord would say, depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Once I was blind, but now I see, blind to the warnings. And my friend here today, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, and you're blind to the warnings of the Lord, there's going to be a wake-up day. You're going to come to realize there is a true heaven and a real hell, and you have been blind to the warnings. Oh, the Lord would open your eyes and make you to see. And that you could say with us, once I was blind, but now I see. Blind also to the Savior's welcomes. In verses 6 and 7, in this account, it said, when he was thus spoken, the Lord spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now you'll notice that it was the Lord Jesus that initiated everything. The Lord didn't wait until the man came to him and said, look, can you see that I'm blind? Can you help me? No, the Lord took the initial act. And who could have believed the approach of the Lord, taking spittle and clay and telling him to go wash? But all of this was the welcoming words and the healing words of the Lord Jesus. So many today are blind to the welcoming nature of the Lord Jesus. To them, the name of the Lord Jesus strikes fear, strikes alarm, drives them away. They think that the separation between them and a holy God is so impossible. But surely the good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus is the bridge to the great chasm between your soul and a holy God. Surely the name of the Lord Jesus is daysman, mediator, reconciler. That's him. He's the welcoming Lord Jesus. And as you see him at the cross of Calvary, is that not the welcome of the heart of God to sinners to believe in the cleansing power of his blood? Welcome, it says. And then go to the empty tomb. What does the empty tomb tell you? That death's sting is gone. And you are invited to believe in the risen Lord Jesus. Oh, how blind we are by nature. How we get things all back to front when we're sinners. But now I see. And of course the Christian, he understands how welcoming
the Lord Jesus is, and we lament. What do we lament? That we stayed away so long. That it took us so long to come. But you see, we were blind and now we see. And we understand the welcoming nature of the Lord Jesus. And we all have to testify of how receptive, how receiving the Lord Jesus is, how quick to forgive our sins, how speedy to apply the balm of the gospel to our hurting hearts. And we love to sing, as is, you know, Beulah's favorite hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, that's an all-time favorite, Joseph Scriven's wonderful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." But you see, once we were blind to that, but now we see. Once, I'm sure as a child growing up, I must have heard or even participated in singing that hymn, but I did not see it. But I can truly testify to any man today in heaven or earth, the friendship, the welcoming, the receiving grace of the Lord Jesus. These are the confessions of a convert. I hope that is your confession today. Hope that's your conviction. And that you can join in and also say, once I was blind, but now I see. Now there were seven things. That should be enough for any sermon. But that's only point one. Would you give me 3 minutes to wrap this up? There's something else glorious I want to show you here in this whole account. I want you to see that with this man's eyes opened, that the Lord became more and more worthy in his eyes. If you look at verse 11, you will see that he called him Jesus, a man called Jesus. Verse 17, he said he was a prophet. Verse 35, he was worthy to be called the Son of God. And you can see the growing interest and view of Christ he had. A man called Jesus, a prophet. Then he's the Son of God, verse 35. And verse 38, what did he call him? Lord. And then he worshipped him, verse 38. And my friend, that growing, progressive view of Christ ought to be in your heart and mind today. He is not just a man called Jesus. He is not just a prophet. He is the Son of God. And he's my Lord. And I bow the knee to worship him because he is worthy. And the more I see him, the more I experience him, the more I want to worship him. And then he's also worthy of persecution. You'll notice how his parents were very careful how they answered. Because there was an edict by these Pharisees. If any man said that Jesus was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Well, this man, he ended up getting turfed out. Because he did say that Jesus is the Son of God. That he's the Christ. And he didn't care what the Pharisees or the rulers of the synagogue would do to him. He would be a witness for the Lord Jesus because he was worthy. He was worthy. What does it cost you to be a Christian today? Friends, I don't know. But sometimes there is a cost. And I suppose as we look back over our lives, there have been many who have turned their back on us because we're a Christian, but he's worthy. He's worthy. And the Lord promises that whosoever confesses him before men, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. But if you reject the Lord Jesus before men, it will be the judgment of the Father. Christ will not confess you. You reject him, he rejects you. And so what a wonderful, wonderful testimony in John 9 of this dear man. What a testimony. Once I was blind, now I see.